What? You let a ninja move in with you?
I didn't know what else to do, okay?
He's a trained assassin.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I need someone else to pay the other half of the rent.
You're insane.
It's actually working out all right. I hardly even know he's there.
He's a ninja.
Okay, we've discussed that he's a ninja, all right? But he's just like any other roommate. We're working out our differences and figuring out the kinks, you know?
This week in your parents' basement, we are playing the game that EGM gave its first score of 10 and the game that I so eloquently teased last week. From 1990, we're playing Ninja Spirit by Irem for the TurboGrafx-16. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the master of Righteous Cloud. It's Huell Hauser.
Awoo!
And our other regular co-host, he loves to sling around swirling leaf. It's Todd Brisket.
A ninja loves nature because he is part of nature. A ninja never fights a battle if he cannot win.
Is that from Three Ninjas or Surf Ninjas or something? Or?
From Three Ninjas, yes.
Yes, Teebs. a top five movie for Todd Brisket.
Definitely. I like the one where they're with Hulk Hogan and Lonnie Anderson.
Mm-hmm. That's number four, yeah.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to yppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPP homepage, yppodcast.com. This week's game is Ninja Spirit. Released in 1990, Ninja Spirit was the first game to receive a 10 from EGM. However, that's not why we picked it for coverage this week. It was just a happy accident. Todd, tell them how we picked the old Ninja Spirit for this week.
Yeah, we didn't have any game lined up. Nothing was popping. Nothing was catching our eye. So I loaded up old Siri and said, "Hey Siri, give me a TurboGrafx-16 game, aka the PC Engine in Japan." And then Siri said, "Yes, Master. Here, play Ninja Spirit."
Oh yeah.
And so this is just another random pick by the machine. So that is why we're playing it. And it's I'm glad this is a title I'd never heard of, and it is quite good actually. It is a great little platformer. It's a fun little ninja star 'em up.
You know what I thought as I was playing this, because I also had a blast. This is a shoot 'em up. This is a shmup.
This is a shmup, yeah. Yeah.
This is a jumping. It's a shmup that's not on rails. You're actually controlling Ninja Man, side-scrolling, jumping around. But this has all the shmup tropes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, the jumping itself does go, like, you can jump from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. So
yeah.
You do have free reign to blast, to shmup the entire screen.
Slowly floating. Yeah, above everyone.
Yeah, and so like you said, it does have the tropes, which are, you know, multiple weapons you can pick up. You can get the spreader gun, you can get the laser gun, the short ranged shotgun, and they each have their own power ups. So,
right.
And it has the option.
Mm-hmm.
Steven's favorite power up from what was that game we played?
Wasn't
it called like balls or something?
Balls, no.
No, there are options in R-Type and
R-Type,
Gradius.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Option.
And Gradius, they both have them, but...
And Gradius, yeah.
So option is when you get
your helpers.
A second of yourself.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. little helpers.
Yeah.
And in this game,
very exciting.
For this game, it reminded me more of in Ninja Gaiden 2, you get clones of yourself. And I'm not sure...
Clone.
I think they may have lifted it from this game, because I can't remember if it was in the first Ninja Gaiden.
When I said balls, I was thinking of Scat.
Ah, yes.
Special Cybernetic Attack Team. Mm-hmm. I knew it was something dumb, like some weird name that...
Balls is that fighting game where the characters are made out of balls.
You're just balls. Yeah, you're literal balls. But yeah, so when I first started up this game, I'm like, all right, it's just a simple little ninja slice around, jumping around, doing whatever. But the longer you play and the more power-ups you pick up, the more insane and strong you get, to where like there's like three of you swinging a sword that just sends out like these energy circles that just like envelop the whole screen, and it becomes like insane and super fun, and there's enemies everywhere, and it was ridiculous. Like only 5 minutes in, like you go from just a normal ninja with a sword to like destroying screens worth of enemies.
Yeah. The downside is that, you know, they do get super powerful very quick, but like if you go to a boss and you die in the boss and it starts you a couple screens back, you're just one lonely ninja with one single sword.
That, and yeah, if I was playing this legit, that would not be fun. But with the magic of save states, since I own this legally on a cartridge, I just don't have the system because they're hard to find. I used a ROM, so I could use save states on that. Yeah. So once you get like your triple dudes with the swords that fly across the screen, you would save state that and just wreck face. And the bosses are kind of tricky, so they're not like, even though you're super strong and there's three of you, there's still like tons of lasers flying around the screen that could hit you, or the bosses like kills you in one hit, so you have to like jump around and avoid them and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. The bosses so
it's definitely
are either
challenging.
It's either the boss is like a bullet hell boss, or it's just like a guy with a sword that's going to kill you in one hit.
Yeah, the second level boss where you're jumping around the forest, it's like this weird like cat man or something, and he just like flies across the screen and kills you in one hit. Just like, blah. So like you have to jump around him and use your options, your clones, to like hit him behind you. Because the fun thing about the options is they're like delayed, so if you jump, like it jumps like maybe a half second behind you, so you just have like this wave of dudes swinging swords, just like covering the whole screen. It's like it's super fun. Like I highly recommend trying it.
My favorite thing about those options are that when you do land, if you don't move, they're still hanging in the air. They're just floating there, blasting freaks in the sky.
They don't move unless you do. So if you have one like jumping and you jump and land, there's another one just sitting wherever it stopped when you hit the ground. So he's just like still floating there, slashing away or flinging out triple ninja stars. It was amazing.
Now, which weapon did you guys use the most in this game?
Todd?
Well, you know, early on I was heavy on the sword, but I switched over to the ninja star, the shurikens.
Yeah.
The swirling leaf, as it's called in the game. I switched over that one just because it's a spread shot and it goes across the entire screen. That's a good one to get through some long stages. But then eventually I started using the hook and rope, which I think is the dragon / Shoryu. The rising dragon / Shoryu.
Shoryu?
Kusarigama. Yes. Which is the hook on a string.
Yeah. That thing didn't seem too useful, but
here's the trick for that one. It does go in a straight line, but what you got to do is when you stick it out, you can move your stick around and it'll fly around in circles.
After you throw it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I didn't realize that.
That definitely sounds good. Because, what I realized maybe like a level or two in was you can attack in different directions. So even if you have your sword and it's a side scroller, you're not just attacking left or right. Like you can attack up, down, like diagonally. So like it takes like all the directions into account. So if you're jumping through the air with your super swinging sword, it can go like all around you and just like slice up those poor enemy ninja men jumping around.
Yeah, I got to say, this is the most hyper-realistic ninja game
absolutely.
Played.
Yeah, this is what real people do all the time. But what I found, like, I definitely had the sword for a while until I figured out that you could switch weapons. And then if you have three guys and the ninja stars, the shurikens, you can just like cover the screen in shurikens and just wipe away anything. Like just continuous, like there's no limited ammo. You're just you're flinging shurikens nonstop.
That's why I'm at one everywhere. The one stage where all the woofs are jumping around and flying at you. That's where that's good, because they can be taken out in one hit.
Yeah, or the third stage where you get like the huge dude that kills you in one hit. You stand back and shuriken the hell out of him.
Now here's where I switch it up is on those huge dudes. So you switch the bombs, you take them out in one shot, because you got three bombs going at him at once.
Okay, I should have tried the bombs a little more.
They're called bamboo thunder in the game.
That's what happens after I go to the Chinese buffet.
Ooh.
Let's cut that out.
Yes.
So yeah, Steve, do you agree with our weapon analysis?
Yeah, I would say. Do the weapons have different power? Because
they definitely really do. Yes.
Okay,
like the shurikens are weaker because you can shoot so many flying everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, that would explain why. Like it seemed like the shurikens covered more ground, obviously, because they fly out in all different directions, especially if you have
like shotguns, like a triple shot.
Yeah, yeah, but I was getting hit more with them than I was with the sword, because the sword just kills everything in one shot, and plus once you power it up, I think it has like a little energy wave that comes off it too.
Yeah, the reach on the sword is short, but it's still extended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's what the bombs are. I mean, they're the most powerful, but it's a straight shot, and you have to hit right on target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So I mostly use the sword. I didn't have that much trouble with using that, so I just stuck with it.
What made me switch was that second boss that flies around the screen. So like once I switched the shurikens, I dealt with that pretty easily. But I was sorting it up most of the time.
Yeah, I was just a delight. I was just delighted that we had four weapon choices in this game, and you could just switch them at will.
Yeah, you don't have to pick them up. You just always have them, which is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Which is not a shmup trope. Like, different weapons is a shmup trope, but usually in those, you replace whatever weapon you have with whatever you happen to pick up next. So I like that with this one, you could switch them around with what you needed.
Mm-hmm. You could do the old switch them up.
Yeah, that's a classic switch mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by this game, like all aspects of it. It was
definitely. The only one downside was the music was not that good, but everything else about it, even the graphics, man, the graphics, those animations.
I don't agree. The music wasn't good.
But, I mean, it wasn't. It wasn't
mind blowing, but I like.
No, it's not bad. It's just not. I mean, if there's one piece that's missing from making it a perfect platform, it's music.
I would say length, because I watched a playthrough of this. It's like 15 minutes long. Like if you go a perfect
skills.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, obviously it's hard and there's no like save points from what I could tell. So it might take you a while playing legitimately, but yeah, back to the graphics, man. This is like a late Super Nintendo level graphics, I think.
Yeah, this came out in 1990, I believe, on the TG-16.
When I looked it up, I think there's an arcade version that was in 88. So
the weird thing is that I think I watched a comparison video, and it looks like the TurboGrafx version is superior to the arcade visuals wise. Like there's so much animation in all these characters. So like it's fun seeing that wolf howl.
Oh yeah. It's one of the rare ports that's like a almost complete reskin. Like everything's better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the graphics in this are great. Like animations, like you said, just all of it. Because there's a lot going on, and it handles it all like smoothly.
Yeah, and I think one thing that why this game is short for the turbo graphics as well is that you get five hits before you die in the TG-16 version. In the arcade, you get hit once and you're dead.
Yeah, so that seems
that'd impossible. Be a quarter muncher right there, and you'd be that's going back it. A few yeah, screens.
You're done. So it's probably yeah, it's probably why it's short to begin with, because arcade games in general were short because, like you said, you had to keep pumping quarters in. So that extends the life of it, but I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially and, it being pretty hard playing legitimately.
Yeah. And the console edition did come out 2 years after the arcade. So mm-hmm. they could spruce it up. There is an arcade option in this game, and from this current to Wikipedia, it just has more as arcade style gameplay where you get hit once you die instead of in the normal mode for the old console version here, you get a life bar, it's like 5 points. Although some bosses just kill you in one hit anyway.
Right.
So
the Japanese release date of the TurboGrafx-16 is October 87 and North America is August 89. So I was wondering if maybe so it had really been out at least a year and a half before this game was made. Or released, I should say.
See, I was going by the copyright on the game itself when you look.
No, I was saying the console, the TurboGrafx console, mm-hmm. came out in 89.
Oh, okay.
So I was just thinking about you didn't have the full 2 years of development between the arcade release and this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
This is probably my favorite TurboGrafx-16 game. I mean,
in my top two at least because we played Bonk's Adventure.
So. I'd say it's in top two.
I like this more than Bonk's.
You know what? I will agree with you. I like this more than Bonk's.
Oh yeah,
Bonk's is more memorable character, but this is just more fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is way more fun. Bonk's there's just nothing there.
He's just a little baby.
Yeah, bonking around.
Little baby bonking around. Baby remember bonk. In Bonk's Adventure when he went to the moon and made a baby with that moon lady?
No.
No.
Go back and listen to that episode.
I'm going to be honest right now. I don't remember a thing about Bonk's Adventure. I remember almost nothing. When was this?
You play as a kid with a giant head.
Aren't you like a caveman, cave boy?
Yeah, yeah. Pippins was a guest on the show, I believe.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, Pip. This is April 24th, 2017. So almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little sad that you don't remember anything about it. It's just a year ago. It's not
it's our once a year TurboGrafx dedication.
It's not like we're talking about Kid Samson here.
Need to lay off the drugs, man.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, or maybe you need to start doing drugs, one or the other.
Well, I'll make that decision. Off the air.
Good talk.
This is an intervention. We need you to start doing dope.
Yes.
So this
whole podcast is just a long con, a 3 year long.
Finally
con.
Got to the point. The intervention of intervention of Huel.
Did you say Doughboy?
No, I said Oh Boy because I said innervation.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So it's been 154 weeks building up to this moment.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
just to touch on where the game is now. Ninja Spirit was initially ported from the arcade to the TurboGrafx-16 and from there to the Game Boy and some other European platforms. Since then, it has been available on Nintendo's Virtual Store from time to time.
Hmm.
The loose cart is a bit pricey, though. It's $47, according to price charting.
Jesus. And the
box and the box and the manual up the price to $60. There was not a proper sequel for this one. So,
That's disappointing.
Yeah, they need a sequel to this thing.
They could totally, just like do a few more weapons and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Tighten up the graphics.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, speaking of R-Type, IREM does R-Type. So they probably lifted the idea for that.
They lifted that option from themselves.
Yep.
Actually, this is probably just a reskin of R-Type. They're like, let's just put a ninja in there and make him jump.
That's awesome.
I mean, R-Type does have the force scroll at least. So.
Yeah, and this one you're controlling it as a side scroller.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
No, we didn't even touch on the story of this game.
Oh yeah,
which is deep story driven.
One of the deepest.
And you play as a ninja in Japan. In the Japanese version, he's named Gecko, but in the American version, he's called Moonlight. Is that I lost where I say that?
It is Moonlight, yes, but. Go on. You might be alluding to something.
Well, he's a young ninja who lost his father to a mysterious half-man, half-beast creature.
Of course.
The plot of Ninja Spirit is based on the quest of his revenge in an alternative feudal Japan.
Okay.
That is all the story I found for this game.
So here's how I interpreted this. Because there's a little bit of dialogue in the game itself at the end. So when you start it up, you see a ninja get killed by lasers, and then this wolf comes up and howls. And then the game starts as you're the ninja guy running around. And then at the end, when you beat the final boss, this assuredly seizure-inducing scene happens that just like rapidly flashes white. This is probably way before any safety standards on video games. And then your ninja character turns into the wolf that you saw in the beginning of the game. So I'm thinking, and then at the end there's like this dialogue that like this spirit Tsukikagi has completed its journey and vanquished the evil that was in the land or whatever. And apparently that wolf in the beginning is like it comes around when like things are dire and like becomes like this ninja that just like wipes out all the baddies with its swords and ninja stars. And those options, those clones, are the spirit of fallen ninjas that tried to fight the baddies before and died. Because the guys that you come back, sorry, the clones that come out look like the guy that died in the beginning. And you look different than them. Like you're in like a blue suit and they're all in like gray suits. So I'm thinking that this wolf thing changes into a ninja and can summon the spirit of other fallen ninjas to fight beside it.
Oh,
and then,
I like
and that. Then once you beat the final boss, you turn back into this wolf spirit. That's because it's not needed anymore.
I like that story a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more than the one that in the, I guess they just rewrote the story for the American release, which is that your dad died. Avenge him.
Hence.
Yeah. It's much cooler being a wolf.
Hence the ninja spirit.
The ninja spirit, and also why your name is Moonlight, because you're white like the moon in wolf form.
Yeah, and I guess
the wolves come out at night.
The wolf's name is Tsukikagi.
Tsukikagi.
So that is the story that I gleaned or made up for this game, because that seems to be how it worked.
They need to make a movie adaptation of this thing.
Sure. Three Ninjas 5.
Three Ninjas 5. Ninjas, now they're wolves.
Ninja Spirit. Now they're wolves.
They're available, I'm sure. Hulkster is definitely available if you got a check. He's
oh boy.
Imminently available.
He's hard to hire these days. For other reasons.
Yeah.
He's still got some apologies to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, they made four of those movies. You're right, Todd. That was the fourth,
mm-hmm.
the fourth movie.
Why would you question him?
I thought he was saying it was his fourth favorite movie, as if
no.
There's maybe something else besides Three Ninjas movies on
Three
his
Ninjas
list.
Four. Well, I knew top, it at Mega Mountain.
His top four is the four Three Ninjas movies, so that's coincidental. That is also his fourth favorite movie. Is
goodness,
also the fourth three-inch movie.
The fourth one came out 6 years after the original and 3 years after the third movie.
Yeah, and none of the original of the three Ninja Boys are in this one, by the way.
Oh, that's really?
They've all moved on to other projects.
Wow, I didn't even realize. I didn't even realize that they changed up the kids. Like,
oh yeah, I think it's only the middle kid made it to the second movie, and then after that, they just swapped out every movie.
It's like Air Bud, where every 7 years they had to get a new one.
No, Jeffrey Colt Douglas was in the first three movies.
He is the middle three of the three ninjas. I guess he made it through to all three.
So did, in real life, did he adapt his ninja nickname?
No. In real life, his name is Max Elliott Shade.
Oh, okay. I thought Colt Ninja David or whatever. Hold on. Max Ninja Davis was like his like stage name.
No. Although, confusingly, they all three of them came back for the third movie. Okay. So, first movie, original three ninjas. Second movie, middle one, two new kids. And then the third movie, back to the three original ones. So, I don't know what's going on there.
When the title's Three Ninjas, the third one is the most important. So that's when you open up the checkbook to get the full cast. Oh. It just makes sense. Gotta keep that hot IP going.
You know how Hollywood works. You're a Hollywood insider, aren't you?
Yeah,
exactly. I know all about IP, and this is ripe for a fifth movie.
Mm. About ghost dogs.
Especially since, according to Wikipedia, the third movie made $413,000 at the box office. And the fourth movie, which they ran back, it came out 3 years after that third movie, that made $375,000 at the box office.
Three janitors.
Good times.
I'm sorry, custodians.
Oh my god, there is a Super Nintendo and Genesis video game for this. And Sega CD. Put it on the list.
This is like Shaq Fu levels of necessary. Yeah. Get on there.
You just made the list.
Only a good one.
Oh, and I just have one more note on the IRIM Corporation here. They were an active publisher from 1979 to 1994. 94, they got out of the video game business for the most part. And nowadays they basically just license R-type games. Hmm. So they still exist, and apparently they make software games based on pachinko machines.
Classic.
So, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Ezo Corporation. So, good times.
Okay. Going strong.
Yep. Anyways, now, Huel, is there a manual for this one?
Here's the thing. I'm sure one exists. I tried my damnedest to find one, and I could not find a manual for the TurboGrafx-16 version. I'm sorry that I let the fans down. I'm sorry that I let my family down. I'm sorry I let my co-host down. This is a dark time. This is a dark time for me.
Oh.
So I'm giving
it
an incomplete score.
I just found one, Huel.
Oh, God. How? That fast?
I Googled... what did I Google here?
I Googled Ninja Spirit Manual. my go-to query. Well,
I one-upped you by putting Ninja Spirit Instruction Manual, and that did the trick.
Huh.
There you go.
Well... if you go to our other segment, maybe I can do a quick review here.
Okay.
That was fast. How the hell? Okay, go ahead. Maybe I should hold on.
Yeah, you need to.
I mean, I'm not gonna retire just because I got it right last week. I'm not gonna retire. I'm gonna keep going. All right, there we go.
Okay. Todd, could you tell us what Ninja Spirit got on the DuckTales scale?
Ooh. Sure. As some people may not know, the DuckTales scale factors in two things. Those primary factors are replayability and nostalgia. Seeing that I have no nostalgia for this, I'd never heard of it before this week. I can't go very high on that one just because, you know, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, think of like Three Ninjas, you know.
Yeah, but I do love ninjas. I do. I love 80s and 90s ninjas. That's my jam. 80s and 90s ninjas. So I have nostalgia in that way. And replayability, it's pretty decent for a replayable. It is short, like you said, and once you beat it and you get the patterns down, you're not going to go back to it too much. But I'd say it might be one to pick up like once every 3 years and say, oh, I remember this, and rock out for an hour beating those ninjas up. So that all being said, done, and calculated, I will clock this one in at a 0.47 DuckTales.
Pretty close.
Yes. Huel guessed 0.53.
I was leaning toward. I was almost going up there, but I gotta factor in that nostalgia and saying that I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, hold it down a little.
Is nostalgia and replayability, are they both worth 0.5?
You're peeling back.
No.
Okay.
And I'm not going to explain the math.
Okay, just checking.
I knew.
I had a feeling. Yeah, I feel like I knew as I was asking as well. But I just, well, Huel, did you get a chance to peruse the manual? It is not a long manual.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's 9 pages, including all the legal mumbo jumbo and the warranty and all that. Yeah, I mean it's almost like a NES manual. It's very straightforward. A lot of text just explaining things. Some fun descriptions. There is a list of enemies, which is always a plus, and they are little cartoon drawings.
Evil ninjas of the dark side.
Yeah, evil ninjas of the dark. We got Ghost of a Fugitive Warrior, so that's always fun, and Mr. Ryuchi, One Sword Wind Demon, which I believe I fought. So yeah, there's some fun names in here. I guess they could do more, but it's such a simple game that you can't really ask for much more. And I am reading in the beginning that, yeah, I guess they're saying that the ninja murdered in the beginning little cutscene is your father. It says, right before your eyes, your father was murdered. Now raised in the ways of the ninja, you seek revenge. Mm. So maybe right before your eyes means that Wolf
maybe
is actually
you're still you. The dog and he is your father. Maybe there's some...
oh, boy.
Like crossbreeding. I'm not talking about crossbreeding or anything. No no bestiality in this one. Just just like you were raised as a pup by this.
Yeah,
he's your pop.
There's plenty of human fathers to dogs around the world. Yeah, your name is Moonlight, so that makes sense. because that's what you guys said before. So yeah, it's pretty down the middle. So I got to go 2.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
That's decent. Yeah,
it does what it's supposed to do.
Yes,
got the instructions. Got a couple of drawings in it, which are always nice.
But it's all black and white. There's not much there.
No sass at all. Yeah, it's just straightforward.
It's completely sassless. This is a very serious game. Mm-hmm. Sassless.
I like the names for the evil ninjas of the dark side. And that's
they're great. Yeah, we read a few of them. Two-axed ogre. He was a meanie.
Yeah, that's the second stage boss.
Yeah,
this ogre can climb and leap from tree to tree.
Regular Shrek.
I remember all those times Shrek was climbing trees in those movies, jumping around.
How's he climbing with those axes in his hands?
Very carefully. That's how.
He's strong. He's an ogre.
Well, Todd, I understand there's one more segment you wanted to do before we moved along.
Sure. I think we all think this game is pretty swell. Pretty swell. Hmm. I wouldn't say it's the greatest game of all time, but I do have a reason here why Ninja Spirit for the TurboGrafx-16 is the most best game of all time.
Ah.
And it's titled The Early Showcase Game for a Turbo and a Must Own. And it's written by Mike G233.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
And bear with me, folks.
Oh, no.
I need a deep breath for this one. Considered one of the most underrated games all time, it easily looks, plays, sounds better than Shinobi or Ninja Gaiden, rated great by critics, most never got to play it because it's on TurboGrafx-16. This used to be the game they would advertise to hype the system. You can choose from several weapons on the fly from the start, swords, stars, grappling hooks, even bombs. You can deflect attacks and stars. When you jump, you float high into the trees. Like on Legend of Cage, it really gives you the feel of a ninja. Even today, unlike Legend Ogkahe, the game looks great. Hard to believe Turbo died when it could have had arcade-perfect ports like this. If you can buy a Turbo off Amazon, like I did, get this game first, trust me. 5 stars.
Wow.
Oof.
They were so excited, they forgot to put periods in there. That is quite a review.
Yeah, that was
incredible. I can feel their passion.
Mm-hmm.
They're so excited when they wrote that. Like, oh, the show. Gotta let the people know. Gotta let the people know.
The showcase. It's finally here.
Oh, good times. Just that one this week?
Yeah, just one. I mean, there's not many reviews. This is a highly underground, underrated game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, it's on the TurboGrafx-16, and I still don't know a single person that's ever even touched one.
physically.
Physically. And second of all, it's just a port of an arcade game, so not many people would... An arcade game that I've never seen in real life or even heard of before either, so this is very underground. I would say we are on the cutting edge, we're hip, we're cool, because we're playing this one this week.
It's almost the ultimate hipster pick. I mean, it was critically acclaimed, but no one had played it.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Oh, good times. Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
No, just play it. I do recommend people to give it a go. This is a fun one.
Oh. Okay. Huel, anything from you?
Because I couldn't find the manual, I looked at the only GameFAQs guide for this just to get a feel of like the controls and whatnot. And a little bit of snark in here. So in the beginning, they put a how sometimes people like copyright their game reviews, even though legally there's no binding at all. They put in a I am not going to bother with the copyright stuff. If you're low enough to try to bank a profit off of this, or you decide to plagiarize it, that's your wretched morality. So well, a little warning.
He's calling out Prima or Prima.
Yeah.
Because that's where they steal all their content from.
In case anyone wanted to steal his in-depth FAQ on Ninja Spirit, written in like 2002. Yeah, that's your wretched morality.
Mm.
So think about it, guys. Before you steal the hard work of GameFAQs contributors.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that dissuaded everyone from doing it. So
it never happened.
So on that note, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Hmm. You know what? I did.
Hmm.
I did indeed. And they write, "Dear YPB boys, I don't want to get into details, but my situation kind of restricts what I can do. But they do provide me a nice library of classic video game, classic nonviolent video games for us to bide our time. So could you recommend me some fun and cute classic games that have children as the main character? Big, big, big fan of the show, Farid Jogel."
Huh, okay.
Oh, no.
Limited access to games.
Well, the only one I can think of right now is a little game called McKids.
That's on our our list to do someday.
Oh, we should do that one next instead.
It's not about Irish children. It is about McDonald's.
Oh boy,
it's about McDonald's. So
is it nonviolent? Like what do you even do in it?
Yeah, it's nonviolent. All you do is jump around and collect golden arches. It is a pretty fun little platformer. So yeah,
okay.
So it's not a bad game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My recommendation, it's gotta be Earthbound. Even though that is, I guess it's a little violent, but it's RPG violence. You're static, and then you see a slash go across the enemy's face. But that'd be my choice. This cute little kids, they're smart. They got a little spunk in them, got a little bark. I think you'll like them.
I mean, I was thinking Kid Ick, but that's pretty violent. But when you talked about static RPG action, I was thinking Pokemans. You're a kid collecting Pokemans throughout the land, running around.
Playing this. Ash Ketchum, right?
Arch Ketchum, yes.
Arch Ketchum. Arch Barker.
Art Cashum. Catching those Pokemans.
Yeah.
Art Cashman. He's a lawyer.
Oh, I thought he was a refrigerator salesman working out of Duluth. Yeah.
Bob Vance.
Oh.
Yeah. So good luck, Farid, whatever your situation is.
Huel, did you get any emails?
I got an email. An email I'm going to read now. "Dear YPB, the game you played last week sounded nuts. Seventh Guest had a mystery castle, puzzles, child endangerment, and time-traveling ghosts. It had it all. Time travel is something I'm very familiar with. One day I was roasting a pig over an open fire, and the next I'm stepping into a shimmering portal to today. Luckily I'm a fast learner and picked up on your fancy language pretty quick. I also figured out how to download podcasts, and yours is one of my favorites. It made me wonder, what's your favorite games featuring time travel? And it's signed, a caveman on a laptop." Interesting.
He's just a caveman on a laptop.
Simple caveman.
Yeah. I thought it was Stefan writing into us at first, since he was talking about Stefan, how our podcast had everything.
Exactly. Stefan Urkel, you mean?
No, I mean... Stefan, the city correspondent from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. No.
You know, I got to answer. First, can I take a guess for Huel's game?
I know what you're going to guess, and you're probably not right.
Do you want to guess what I'm going to guess for you?
Should we count down again?
Sure.
All right.
Three, two, one. Majora's Mask.
Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
Interesting.
Surprised each other there.
So yeah, it was Majora's Mask.
But Ocarina, how could it not very be? Close, right?
They're both time traveling games.
Yeah, but it plays like a much more bigger feature into Majora's Mask, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in Ocarina of Time, it's almost like Dark World, Light World, and Link to the Past. Like, there's no real... Yes, you're traveling either to the past or the future, but in Majora's Mask, it's much more directly
Majora's
manipulated.
Mask.
Yeah, you're it's almost like, more directly manipulating time.
It's like Primer the Game.
Yeah, the time loops, man. Leave yourself little presents. But there are many choices. I mean, I feel like this is something that was asked before. Yeah. Once I did the research on it.
We've played one for the show, and there was new news about the movie series that game was based on, which is Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. That great time traveling game.
Yeah.
But no, they're finally.
Definitely would not pick that as one of the best time travel games.
No, it's one of the worst. Really.
The letter did ask best. Just your favorites.
Oh, so, your favorite. Okay. It could be somebody's favorite. Yeah.
Todd, can I guess your favorite?
I know what you're gonna ask. You're gonna say. I know what you're gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
Can count I down. Guess what you're gonna say?
Can you count that?
Yes. Let's inception right. this.
3, 2, 1. Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
Yep, oh, yep. That's a big delay.
Little delay there, but yeah, I mean, it's got to be Chrono Trigger for me. I'm sure there's some other game that, once it pops into my head, will beat it. But when I think time travel in video games, it's always Chrono Trigger. Such a masterpiece. Mm. And also, I don't know if you have something on your new news about it, but yeah, a masterpiece.
Oh,
I have a small note on that one in new news.
I don't know if Steve picked one, but I think I know what Steve's is. But I'm not sure if it features time travel specifically, so I'm gonna guess anyway.
All right, can I guess first? Do you want to count down or just guess?
Can we all just say it and Todd counts down?
All right,
go
3, 2, 1.
Earthbound.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh.
No, mine would still be Chrono Trigger.
Does Earthbound not have time travel?
It does not.
Okay, that's where I was wrong. Never mind. I mean,
spoiler alert, it does at the very end but it's not really a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, it's not like a Chrono Trigger. Yeah, it's not like a key.
Yeah. Yeah, my second game, though, just because we already mentioned Chrono Trigger, it's a little game called Radiant Hysteria. Or is it Historia? Historia.
It is Historia, yes.
Yeah, I saw that pop up. I saw that pop up when searching for time travel games.
That is a good one for the Nintendo DS, where as you're going through the game, you can branch off into different timelines, and then you kind of have to advance in a certain timeline and then backtrack to another timeline and that kind of thing. It's pretty fun.
That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is an RPG, though, Huel.
Yep.
Another game we covered that has time travel, but it's not really a mechanic. It's just like the setting. Echo the Dolphin. Lots of time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost all. That's like the whole plot line.
Yeah. Although, Huel, you might like the old Radiant Historia, just because it does mix in some like Battlefield Tactics. It's more like a Final Fantasy Tactics-y kind of one versus, you know, just straight up RPG-ing.
Yeah, if it's a DS game, I'd be probably more inclined to play it just because I need to play my DS more.
Yeah, I agree. I need to pick up a good old RPG for mine. And I like this little note I saw. I was looking at the page. It says, traveling between parallel timelines forms a key mechanic within Radiant Historia.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Which sounds like, awesome.
Like Chrono Trigger, it's heavy. Like the time traveling is a gameplay aspect. Like it's not just, oh, we got to go back in time once. Like that kind of thing. Like that's Earthbound. At the end of the game, you have to go into the future like 10,000 years, which is not, you know, I wouldn't call it a time travel game as a result. So, anyways, I think it's time to move along to the new news portion of the show.
Always catches me off on surprise.
Yes. I only had two quickies today. One is that Chrono Trigger awful release for the Steam. It is getting a patch in April, which will allow you to switch between the existing awful graphics into the original graphics.
Yeah, this almost makes me want to buy it now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the internet will shut up now.
Mm-hmm. Square Enix said that there are two more patches coming, but they did not say what those patches will do. So that's not incredibly helpful. And the other note was there is now a Mario Kart edition of Monopoly.
What?
Yep.
Are the pieces Cartopoly. Are the pieces carts?
Yes, it looks like they are. Mario, Princess Peach, Luigi, Toad.
Oh, come on. There's like 8 different Monopoly objects. How is there only 4 carts? Well, you know what?
Yeah, but
DLC. IRL DLC. That's what they're going to release.
You can use your amiibos on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, who ever plays Monopoly with 8 people?
It's not about the number. It's about the choice. Mm. I can't play as Wario, so why would I play?
Yeah. I also suppose that the stuff inside of a Monopoly game probably does not cost anywhere close to the $30 that it costs to buy Monopoly. So, you know, why not just...
It's about that IP license.
Monopoly is pretty craven when it comes to IP. They got like monopolies for everything now. I got Star Wars-opoly, and it's not even a new one. It's like after the first 3 movies.
Now I'm flying. I'm going to say this off the top of my head, but I believe that Monopoly, the copyright, the trademark, whatever it's called, they don't have complete rights over it. So if you wanted to make YPB-opoly, you could.
Oh God, we should.
Yeah. I think that is something that we tell other people to do, and hopefully they do it.
Well, if other people do it, then we won't get a piece. We won't get a taste.
You'd get a slice of that pie. Mm. Slice of that za.
Now would Scooter Butts...
Zahn it up.
Would Scooter Butts Grave, would that be Boardwalk or Mediterranean? I feel like you can make a strong argument for either.
One thing... I think it's hard to tell.
Maybe
that's jail.
Would it be Scooter Butts Grave or Scooter Butts Dumpster?
Scooter Butts Dumpster, I feel like, is Mediterranean.
It's community chest, right?
Is that the cheapest? What's the lowest? That's Mediterranean?
Yeah, I think that's Mediterranean. Ever ball.
I feel like the entire bottom is just places Scooter Butt has been. Like that whole first 6 purchasable areas.
Yeah.
The library, the coffee shop, the dumpster, a box.
Taco Bell?
Yep, Taco Bell. The bad Taco Bell. Not the good one.
And the good Taco Bell is like just the St. James Place, or the first card in the second row?
Maybe. I guess the railroads could all just be like different systems. Like NES, SNES, Genesis, and arcade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get our...
We're getting somewhere.
Our game R&D people on this.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean Todd, because he's our board game expert. So
true.
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm a board game snob. I don't play Monopoly. All right.
Oh, true. That's like the Starbucks of board games.
Yeah.
It's the Bud Light.
It's the Bud Light of board game. Yeah.
When Monopoly low key is not an especially fun game to play.
I think it's great.
Like it's fun until you buy all the properties, and then
you watch you bleed your friends dry. As you laugh at them.
I know. Then it's either, someone loses really quick because they didn't get any monopolies, or like you're just in a stalemate for hours. Like literally the last game of Monopoly I played, I think lasted like 3 hours. So.
Because your goal isn't to get more money than other people. Your goal is to bankrupt everyone else.
Yeah.
So you're the last one standing. That's what makes it amazing.
We had much more fun with the Simpsons edition of Life, or at least I did.
Oh, yeah, that has a clear ending. Yeah. You're just going across the little board there.
Yeah, and also for that one...
You that's just like push your little dolly around the board.
That's like the Mickey's Big Mouth of board games.
Well, and also, unlike a lot of these other rebranding of the IP, it actually was like Simpsons-related jobs, Simpson-related cards and spaces on the board. So it was like, oh, this is actually pretty neat. So
that's fun.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we should move along here. Todd, did you get any asks this week for help?
Ooh, you know what? Nobody needs our help this week. So send in all your asks to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep your life questions anonymous.
Oh.
Unless otherwise requested.
All right, then.
Okay.
Well, Todd, anything else you want to say before we signed off here?
Yeah, just a reminder. Just remember, never fight unless you're sure you can win.
Is that also from Three Ninjas? Or
it is, yes.
Okay. secret accessory game for this show. Huel, anything else you wanted to say?
Yet another devil will emerge as long as wickedness inhabits people's minds.
Oh, that's sage advice. And on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.